everybody. Jetstream Podcast. Jonas Schwartz, Willie Colon.
Hey, hey.
Brace yourself. The draft is actually here almost. It is draft week.
Finally, man.
Not that we've been talking about it for like 2 months.
Yes.
It is finally here, and we are excited to get more into this. Peter Schrager, star of Good Morning Football, Fox Sports, will join us to break down what he's hearing about the Jets and what they will do in the draft on Thursday night, who could go ahead of them, which quarterback they like the best. We'll talk about the schedule release, which happened last week, and we'll just go through everything that's going on that we feels like we've been talking about forever.
Yes.
But now there's some urgency to it.
No more microscopes. It's time to deliver the baby.
That's right. We're ready to deliver the baby. And before we do that, let me just remind you, as all good obstetricians will do, to listen to the Jet Stream every week from now until the draft by subscribing to the show, the iPhone podcast app, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Just search for the Jet Stream, find our logo, hit subscribe, and please make sure to rate and review the show. We do one today. We do one Thursday night right after the pick.
Yes, we do.
We'll wrap it all up on next Tuesday, and we'll go from there. So the third pick, that has not changed. Jets still have the third pick. Giants are still second. Browns still 1-4. The experts are very split on who the Jets will take. As far as people saying Sam Darnold, Bucky Brooks, who we had on, Albert Breer, Josh Rosen, Peter King, Curtis Conway, Doug Farrar, Charlie Casserly, Baker Mayfield, Daniel Jeremiah, Chris Trapasso, our own Ralph Vecchiano, and Charles Davis. In your gut, give me your gut feel right now. Thursday night, third pick, who do the Jets take? Who's there? Who do they take?
Say select Josh Rosen.
Josh, and do you think that is the right pick?
Yes, I only think it's the right pick on two accounts. One, I think McCagnan's at the point where he's okay with a kid being an outward thinker. That's the label, so to speak, with Rosen. But I think he understands he's an extremely polished quarterback. He's been underneath, you talk about microscopes, he's been in the spotlight for 3 years. You know everything about the kid. And I think part of it is, you know, when you're bringing in a quarterback who's about who's pretty much bringing the changing of the times with him.
Yeah.
He's a kid that, you know, is not afraid to be opinionated. He talks about politics, but he's also extremely competitive. And, you know, what you're hiring him for, he can throw the hell out the football.
Right. People forget that.
Exactly. So besides all that, I think the one quality that which you drafted him that high is because he's extremely efficient. He can throw the football, and he can get it done. Yes. Are you worried about the concussions? Are you worried about his durability? Sure. But that'll work itself out. But I think, and secondly, I think right now you're at the point when choosing Josh Rosen is, you know, he's going to be mentored for a year or two under Josh McCown.
Yeah.
Who we know, you know, if you've watched him this year, and I wish I can talk to him more, he says all the right things at the end of a tough game. And even after a great win, he says all the right things. That's what you want Rosen to be a part of in the same room day after day. So the bridge is there.
Right.
You know, now it's just about bringing him in and getting him going.
Listen, I'm glad you brought up so many of the points you made about Rosen, because the great thing about this big run-up to the draft, and we joke about being tired of it, but it's great. We love talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a lot of it, but we like it. It's been, especially with the way the Knicks and the Rangers were, it was good for us.
Good for the city.
No doubt. But the problem with having such a long run-up to the draft is we have picked apart everybody and everyone so much that you almost forget that these guys are really very good.
That's it.
I mean, you forget it. Josh Rosen, and I sort of reminded myself by reading some things about him this week, how great he is throwing the football.
Extremely.
I mean, he's a great pocket passer, and people say you plug him in immediately.
He's going
to
go.
He's ready to go.
Yep.
He's smart. He's just got to learn a system. I like him for those reasons, too. I also like Baker Mayfield.
Right.
But I like the fact that Rosen is – I think there's less of a bust factor with Rosen. Mayfield, there's a huge boom factor and a huge bust factor.
Yep.
Rosen, everybody seems convinced, as you said, so long as he stays healthy with the concussion, the shoulder, as long as he stays healthy – he can throw the ball in a pocket system, and he's a good match for Jerami Bates because he will challenge him intellectually. And I'm tired of hearing Jim Mora say he needs to be challenged. Jim, maybe you need to be challenged intellectually. We've had enough of that. That's why I like Josh Rosen.
I like Josh Rosen on another aspect is you have to understand the storyline for the New York Jets of the old, you know, the locker room is bad, all that toxic.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Right.
Now you bring in a kid right now where the foundation is set. He's going into a locker room with young guys who are passionate about football, like a Jamal Adams, like a Marcus May, like a Leonard Williams. He's going to be on the offensive line led by Brian Winters and James Carpenter. So there are pieces there for the kid to say, you know what, I'm not looking at 30 or 34-year-old guys, which how I came into the league I loved
right.
because it helped me become a man faster. But he's now coming into a locker locker room who are with a bunch of guys who are passionate, who are focused on football. And by the way, they're in the same age bracket, which helps. So I think there's a lot of pieces moving around. I feel like Josh is the guy for the Jets. Everything else is all nonsense.
Right.
And you cannot fault a guy for being himself. And that's all he's been saying.
Right.
All I can be is me.
Right.
I can't be anybody. I can't be Brady. I can't be Aaron. I can't be Drew.
Right. Would you rather be a fake guy to you and that's what you when you get
right,
here?
And that's what he's been saying. And people have chopped that up so many different ways. I've said to truly understand what the kid's saying. He's like, listen, I'm best when I'm me.
Right.
Bottom line, if I was somebody to if I was to hire somebody, and they gave me that response of why they should work, I would take that.
Yeah.
Because I don't need you to be anybody else but you and come in and go to work.
And I want to go back to the Jim Mora stuff again for 1 second because, by the way, nobody said anything that was really wrong with Josh Rosen
what?
Up until the Mora comments started coming out, and it sort of snowballed since then. Right? People started looking. Why is his coach criticizing him? Maybe his coach was criticizing him because he didn't win enough with him.
And he got fired.
Right, and he doesn't want to sit there and go, I should have done a better job. I'm going to blame the star.
Well, not even that. I mean, I understand more taking on an analytical role, being an analyst, fine. But you have to know.
Right.
If anybody's words mean anything in this whole process is the coach, in particular a head coach. I don't fault Moore for taking the stance he took because I felt he really was being transparent and honest. But to some degree, I couldn't imagine if I was Josh Rosen and my own college coach came out and said things that I know would cost me money.
Yeah.
So that's where it's selfish in that regard. And then you're costing this kid potentially from being a first-round draft pick to possibly falling to number 12.
Yeah.
So it's you know, I think I don't think he thought it through. I didn't think he was being spiteful, but I don't think he understood the weight of his comments during the time he said it.
I also think the Aaron Rodgers comparison in terms of his personality is a good one. You know, listen, Rodgers is a much more mobile guy than he is,
mm-hmm.
but just the fact that people said the same thing about Aaron Rodgers,
yes.
and there was a question when Rodgers came out about being a Cal quarterback
right.
Under Jeff Tedford and all that, you know what, he came out and did his thing. I think Rosen will do the same thing. For me, after that, I'm fine. Here's the three I'm fine with. I will be plenty happy when we're doing our draft mm-hmm. coverage Thursday.
Yeah.
If the Jets take Rosen, Mayfield, or Darnold.
So you like Mayfield?
I do.
Okay.
I like a lot about him. There are parts of him that make me nervous.
Sure.
The height. And I understand there's plenty of quarterbacks that play
under
at the height.
Under 6 feet.
Yes, yeah. Or right around it. Right. I get right. Russell Wilson and Drew Brees. I also get that there are other quarterbacks where the height's a problem.
True.
So, you know, would I prefer Baker Mayfield's a couple inches taller? Sure, I would. Would I prefer my bank account at a couple more zeros at the end? Yes. But I think in the end, I'd be fine with him because I like the chip on his shoulder to an extent.
Right.
The question is, can he manage the chip?
That's
you brought up.
Right, and that's the problem because you know what? Who we have on the show all the time, Brian Costello, right? He's a beat writer for the Jets.
Yes.
You know who you're going to see every day if you're Baker Mayfield? Brian Costello.
And Rich Samini.
And Rich Samini.
And Manish.
All of them. So these guys will do their job. They've never shied away from doing their job in regards to talking about any member of the Jets. So you can't now think that you're going to be a different. If they're going to criticize you, they're going to analyze you. They're going to put the mic in front of your face,
right.
and ask you hard questions. They're going to grill you, and they're going to love you and like you. That's not your choice. Your job is just to be reliable and accountable on Sunday.
Right.
You cannot continue. And I don't know. And I don't know if he does this per se. But if he does do that, if he does write a hit list of, all right, that's a guy who said this after I threw three interceptions in a game, because you're going to have bad games, kid.
Yes,
and
you are.
The New York media will come for your head.
They're not here to cheer for you.
At all.
They're here to cover you.
So you need to know whatever is said about me is water underneath the bridge.
Right.
You have to march on.
That's the thing that I think so many players have trouble adjusting to from college. When they are viewed at as student athletes and kids, and they're in a college town, well, really, the media is almost sort of rooting for them as well.
100%.
To get here, no one's rooting. No.
No
one who's covering them is rooting for them.
And that's what makes New York special. You have to earn.
Yes.
Like Derek Jeter.
Yes, totally.
Earned. I mean, you talk about a rock star lifestyle. Kept it quiet, was classy, was dependable, showed up, is a god of this town. Willie Joe.
Joe Willie, yeah.
You can
Joe
say
Willie,
nothing.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't care if you're a Giants fan to not care about sports at all. You see Willie Joe Namath, you put him right next to New York, and you say he's God.
Right.
I mean, it goes hand in hand. So you have to earn that
right.
that elitist, that godly kind of mindset. So, I think you have to – the kid has to be ready to work and put all that to the side.
And you bring up Joe Namath. It just goes to show you how long this franchise
yes.
has been looking for this guy. Chad Pennington was close. Mark Sanchez was close. Ken O'Brien had some
yep.
moments. Vinny Favre for half a year till his arm fell off, and Brian Schottenheimer was still throwing the ball 40 times a game, God knows why.
Right. But a really good run game, by the way.
Yeah, it made no sense. Yeah. And I screamed about it all day long, and people told me I was crazy. But I here's the other thing, and I want to make this clear before we bring in Traeger. I don't want any part of Josh Allen. And the reason why...
You don't want the project?
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't have faith that this group can bring him along.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that to be... And I,
it's calling
maybe it's
state.
Unfair.
Yeah, it's not bad.
When I saw what happened with Christian Hackenberg, and I didn't see him, so I can't say I saw him get better, and he was a project, and I understand Allen, I think, has abilities that far exceed from what you hear.
So did Jamarcus Russell.
Right.
Jamarcus Russell, when he was coming out of LSU, could throw the ball to the moon.
Right.
6'5".
Right.
Big,
right.
Could scramble a little bit, but he gets sling it.
Right.
No reason right now? Asking if you want pastries or a cream puff at the local Krispy Kreme. You can't find them right now. So my point is...
I'd always go with pastries.
Right.
Myself,
so
yes.
my point is, you know, if you're going to draft a guy in Josh Allen, as a team, you have to know he's going to be sitting for 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Even if your starter stinks, he still needs time.
Right.
Are you willing to take on that time?
Right.
Because I watched Josh Allen. ESPN was playing one of his games this year against Air Force. Kid couldn't move in a pocket.
Yeah.
Scramble. Now, if he had time, he could sling it all over the field.
Right.
But if he had a pass rush, which you will face in the NFL,
right,
couldn't get rid of the ball.
And I'm also nervous. Dan Orlovsky was on with us last week detailing how mentally he was not reacting quickly enough and reading defense.
Yeah.
The other guys don't have that problem. Now, I want to segue here and transition to, there are two people in this world. You know, most of the time you meet people in a bar, they're not really very significant in your life. It doesn't work out one way or the other. I got two people I've met in bars.
Nice.
Who have worked out nicely in this world. One is my wife, and the other one, how's this for the hard left turn? Peter Schrager.
Oh, wow.
The full-on star of Good Morning Football.
He is a star.
Fox Sports as well, covering the NFL. He's an insider as much as any of them are. And really one of the nicest guys you'll ever come across. Ran through SNY as well. And in all seriousness, we're thrilled to have him give us a few moments. And coming on, Schrager, you remember I met you in a bar or no?
Yeah, can we talk about watching Willie Colon play at the Village Poorhouse? On
that's
it.
That's
TV?
Exactly.
Is that exactly what it was?
That's exactly it. I maybe we predicted at that point several drinks in. We'd be doing a podcast with Willie later on. Peter, thanks so much for some time here, and you know this stuff as well as anybody. What do you think's happening with the Jets? Who is the quarterback they have highest rated? We hear it's Mayfield. We hear it's Rosen. We hear there's debate in the building. What are you hearing?
Let's timestamp this. So we're doing this on Tuesday, and
yes,
all things can change come Thursday morning. But I'll say this. Since day one of free agency, when Mike Maccagnan chose to not be in the building on the first day of free agency, maybe the most significant day of the offseason, so that he could be on a plane to Norman, Oklahoma, and be in person for Baker Mayfield's pro day, I have been hearing that the Jets have been in love with Baker Mayfield. That was the same case when they went to dinner with him in Morristown, New Jersey a few weeks ago, and I got glowing reports about that dinner. It's the same thing as to when they met with him in the facility. It would take a strong, strong, strong late push or some great, great disguise and subterfuge from the Jets organization for them to suddenly be Rosen over Mayfield this late into the process. Everything I've heard, everything I've been listening to for the last 2-3 months has been that Baker Mayfield, if he's on the board, is going to be the pick for the Jets. That might include Sam Darnold as well. If Darnold somehow falls, and I think they have been in love with Mayfield for this entire time, and I'd be shocked if they went with one of the other guys that includes Darnold and that includes Josh Allen.
Mm. You talk about Josh Rosen. Me and Jonas were just talking about him. So much has been talked about his character and who he is as a person. If you were his lawyer, how could you defend this young millennial who's trying to just preach about him being him?
Yeah, because Baker Mayfield is 6 foot tall and got arrested less than a year ago, and you're going to take his character over mine because I'm a sinker? You know, like, that's where,
right,
that's where the argument is. You know, we forget that Mayfield got arrested for running away from the cops not too long ago. We forget that Mayfield grabbed his crotch in front of a national audience when he was a Heisman favorite. Like, we conveniently forget a lot of these things with Baker Mayfield, and yet Josh Rosen has a couple emojis on his Twitter and wears a hat against Donald Trump, and suddenly he's out to be made out to be this evil villain. It's all perception. And the truth of the matter is, when these teams are meeting with Mayfield, they're blown away. He's got all the charisma in the world, and you know, he's one of these guys where the Pied Piper, you would follow him to the end of the earth. With Rosen, though, it's one of these deals where these teams, I talk to him. They're like, he's a nice kid. And I think the word that Dorsey said was, quote, he's a neat kid. You don't want to hear that your franchise quarterback's a neat kid. You want to hear that he's going to lead the troops downfield, down, you know, 6 points with 2 minutes left. He's the guy, and that he'll get in a veteran's face if he has to. I'm not sure if that's the guy that they're looking for with Rosen, but with Mayfield, there is no doubt that his entire persona is dedicated to making your franchise a winner. And with Rosen, he had that opportunity at UCLA, and they didn't win.
Mm. You see what you did right there? You asked him to be his lawyer. That was Johnny Cochran. Johnny Cochran effectiveness right. In that case. Peter, you mentioned how much you've heard the Jets love Baker Mayfield. And I was really taken aback by how public Todd Bowles was in his praise of Baker Mayfield. Being that Todd Bowles, at least publicly, I know behind the scenes he's a different guy, but publicly really makes it his business to say as little as possible that you can run with. And it almost screamed to me smokescreen, only because he never talks about anybody that way. So you've been in this business a long time, and you've dealt with a lot of decision makers who are all running subterfuges, you say, and smokescreens. At this stage of the game, how can you tell, and how can you help us tell what's real and what's not?
You can't. I mean, this is what it is. And as of Tuesday, there's a report floating around that there are people in the building in Cleveland who really like Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
And I got to say, this is one of those drafts where for the last 10 years, I've been covering it pretty extensively. And, you know, I knew the Panthers were taking Cam Newton. I knew the Buccaneers were taking Jameis Winston. I knew that Jared Goff was the pick before Carson Wentz. I knew that a week in advance. I can truly tell you that nobody can 100% tell you what the Browns are doing at one, what the Giants are doing at two, and what the Jets are doing at three. And it just so happens that the three general managers, Dorsey, Gettleman, and McCagnan, are three of the, you know, the un-media-friendly guys. They're nice guys. You meet them at the owner's meetings, meet them at the combine, they'll talk. They're definitely pleasant, but these are not guys who are giving info to favorite reporters. These are not guys who are using the media to spread any messages. So you've got to kind of go around them, and all three of these guys could be in the CIA. They're that lock and key right now. So when you hear a rumor, like you know, there's someone in the building, Mayfield to the Browns, and it's coming from Adam Schefter, who's got a pretty much 99% hit rate, you can't dismiss it. I mean, it seems like that could be real, which leads to all this, and it makes it interesting. But when Bowles and I'm telling you, no one made a big deal out of it, but the first day of free agency, when the Jets are missing on Kirk Cousins and missing on Jerick McKinnon, their general manager was in Norman, Oklahoma, standing on a sideline. He wasn't sitting at the office fielding calls and talking to agents. He might have had his phone on, but his top priority that day was to be at that pro day. There was only one other GM there, and it was John Elway. I'm telling you, I read more into that than anyone else does. I think it's real. I think they've been in on Mayfield, and they wanted to be there every step of the way. Mm.
We did this hypothetical question last week, and people want to chop my head off, so I'm going to allow you to tag team and help me out here. if the Jets do not, for whatever reason, pick a quarterback at the number three spot.
Which we've established, I will have a heart attack.
Right. We will try to save Jonah's life in this process.
Yes.
If they do not take a quarterback and they decide to make a quick left, what position and who do you think they would draft?
It's Saquon Barkley for the Jets.
Really?
At least. I think so. That's the only possibility. And I'm not trying to slap you around for that. I mean, the fact is, though, they
get like
second round picks. I do. I just don't think the Jets, that's not their biggest area of need. They need an offensive weapon here, and I think Barkley would be the guy. I think the Giants, you know, no one's talking about the Giants and Chubb. I mean, I think the Giants have a much better chance of taking Chubb than the Jets if that was the case. I think Chubb might go two overall to the Giants when it's all said and done and Barkley slips out of the top three. But I would think if I'm the Jets and I don't take a quarterback, it's because your top two quarterbacks were somehow taken already and you're not willing to settle on your third quarterback. You're taking Saquon Barkley. The offense needs help. That's the bottom line.
Oh, how do you see – give me the first three picks and how you see it playing out Thursday night, Peter.
Here's
again, we know
it's
hard to predict.
Yeah, no, and look, everyone's going to be wrong on this stuff. I'm going to give you my the way I see it. I see – Darnold won, and it's no overwhelming reason why. It's almost like if you're a Browns, you just can't screw this up, and Darnold is going to be at least a serviceable professional, which is the least convincing argument for a quarterback ever. But I'm saying Darnold won. I'm saying Bradley Chubb 2 to the Giants. Mm. I think just looking at Dave Gettleman's history, he has always valued the pass rusher. And you go through the Carolina drafts when he was their GM. It was Star Lotulelei. It was Kawan Short. It was Vernon Butler, Tony Ealy, they take big boys. And I think losing JPP was fine if you can get yourself Bradley Chubb. And then Number three, have the Jets taken Mayfield. So that's my 1-2-3, and I think Barkley goes 4 to the Browns.
And real quick before you go, where do you rate – you've given us who you think, you know, where people are going. How do you rate the quarterbacks? Who do you think is best? Give me the top four.
In a vacuum, I would take Josh Rosen one. I think I watched a lot of college football on Saturdays, and that kid was the best quarterback I saw out of all of them. So my four are totally inverse of how I think they go. One, Rosen. Two, Allen. Three, Mayfield. Four, Darnold. Is that crazy? And I'm not a GM. I think that's how I would rank them. I'd rather take a big swing, but then again, it's not my job on the line.
Peter, I before you got on, we were talking about who I would take. I would take Rosen. And I put his character aside. I watched the kid a lot this year, and obviously you watched him a lot more than me. I felt like he was the most polished quarterback out of everybody in the country. I feel like when it's time to deliver, he has a gleam in his eye that you don't see from one quarterback. And I think Darnold's a competitor. I know Mayfield's a competitor. But I also watched Mayfield in that game against Georgia, and I watched that pass rush get after him, and he looked like – he looked like a raccoon stuck in a bear trap. He cannot.
I love it.
He cannot.
2 minutes left.
Yeah,
he
cannot.
Get the job done.
Right, and I said to myself that, and it was only like it was like 5 minutes going into the game. He had the ball. Georgia's pass rush started getting after him, and I said, you know what? How he's getting attacked is a Sunday in October. The dogs will be hunting, and if that's how he's going to respond, because at my point, at this point, I'm looking at Mayfield. If you can't beat him with your arm, you got to at least run. He's not fast enough to outrun defensive ends and outside linebackers in the country.
9:40. You're right.
So my point is, if you're the Jets and you're looking at Mayfield and you're worried and you love his chippiness and all the bells and whistles, that means nothing to me. What means something, can I depend on you when it counts? Because what I saw from Josh Rosen, say what you want.
Yeah.
The kid can get it done. And so
34 points, they were down in the second half to Texas A&M. He led them back to a victory.
Amen.
I'll leave you with one of these two. I'll just say this. I watched this. Mayfield decides to do a documentary about himself, which already I'm rolling my eyes, all right?
Yeah.
Then he does the documentary about the pre-draft process. I watched the 4 episodes, guys. He has issues with the Elite 11 camp because they didn't give him enough love out of high school. He's got issues with Colin Coward because he didn't say he was a first-round pick. He's got issues with both Nike and Adidas because they haven't been with him since day one.
Wow.
He's got issues with Bus Cook, the agent, because when he recruited him, he didn't come hard enough with it. He's got issues against the haters online. This kid's got a lot of issues with a lot of people.
And you want to bring him to New York? He won't make it over the bridge.
I want a quarterback. I know. These are the negatives on Mayfield, yet I'm told to just block it out, teams like him, and it'll all go swimmingly. I have hesitations on all – if you need all that to inspire you and you bring it all out, man, I don't know.
Yep.
That seems like a lot for a rookie quarterback.
Exactly. Exactly.
No doubt about that. Peter, great stuff.
Great job, Peter.
Popping on, and hopefully we speak to you soon.
I can't wait to talk to you guys on Friday and see how it all goes down.
tell Kay Adams we say hello. She
tell Kay what up.
SMY, so tell her we send her best.
Big fans of both of you guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
All right, continued success.
All right, Peter.
Good Morning Football, Fox Sports. Interesting, right? Interesting. But he's saying what you're saying.
Exactly. So that's why I was, how do you go Mayfield at 3?
You know, it's interesting. I watched for the first time. I've not seen all 4 episodes. I watched the part where, Baker Mayfield's Facebook documentary thing that seemed like a Tom Brady wannabe thing.
Yes.
Where he talked about Bus Cook and everything else, and Bus Cook should have known he wasn't recruited by Bob Stoops.
Right.
He walked on and all that sort of stuff. And I get it. That's the question that remains with Baker Mayfield. Is the chip on the shoulder going to benefit him or harm him? But everybody, and it's funny, because Peter really summed it up very well. You know, Josh Rosen is thought of as this terrible guy because he might have another interest from football. Meanwhile, he hits the field and plays seriously. But Baker Mayfield's more in your traditional football mold of a rah-rah, meat and potatoes kind of personality, and you'll overlook the arrests and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that how you view what's going on here? It's what it seems like to me.
What it sounds like is a guy who can go in a room
And win the room.
That's what it sounds like. And that's what Peter's saying. He goes, listen, we forget about the antics off the field.
Right.
Everybody loves him because when you listen to him talk and he's fired up, he'll make you walk out the room with him.
Right.
That means nothing on Sunday because you know how many rah-rah guys I've listened to talk on Sunday and then we put on the tape Monday, you can't find them?
Right. And then they're not rah-rah next Sunday.
Exactly. Yes. So please, if the Jets are smart, pick the kid that can get it done now because you know you have a year, maybe 2 with McCown. If he wants to come back, he's going to be 39 years old. You got to see what you have in Teddy. Something may be there, something may not. Get a kid who, if you put the key in the car, it can go. He's the car. Drive it.
Yeah. No, listen, you know, I'm coming around to that point.
It just kills me because people are so amped up on this kid, chip on the shoulder. Peter just ripped off nine things.
I know, a very good case.
I'm just like,
I don't throw around Johnny Cochran lightly, you know.
Yeah, and that's true.
I mean, that was impressive.
And if you're taking that stance now in this city,
their only thing about please. Mayfield is there is that sort of brashness that, you know, you mentioned Joe Willie Namath, the Joe Namath guarantee, and there is that aspect of him if he can rein in parts of it. Parts of it, but that's a big if.
But my point is you have a fire to put out if this kid isn't what you need him to be in the first six games.
It could be a disaster.
To Hackenberg.
It could be a disaster.
Right. Like, look what you just showed. Right. Look, if you're McCagnan and the powers to be, you just gave New York Jets Christian Hackenberg. You know what Christian's doing right now? Trying to figure out where he's going to live next.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you're going to bring in the next guy in, let him look like the prize pony. Don't have him all scarred up, firing at the bit. When at the end of the day, he may not be able to get it done.
See, this just when you thought we were all tired of talking about this too much, we're just as fired up. Let's do a little some prop bets here.
Okay.
Let's both you and I go through how we think this draft is going to play out. Who will be the first overall pick in your mind?
Sam Darnold.
I agree.
Yep.
Who will the first overall pick hug first? His mom or someone else? I'm going to say someone else being Roger Goodell.
I'm going to go Saquon. He's probably going to hug his mama.
Real? All right, that's fine.
Yeah, yep.
All right, list the top four quarterbacks selected in order. Give me how they, for the first four, go.
I think you go Darnold. I think you go Rosen. I think you go Mayfield, obviously. I think he may land to the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Allen.
Okay. I'm going to go – I'll just do this for the sake of being different.
Okay.
I'll go Allen.
Yep.
Darnold, Mayfield, Rosen.
Rosen
last year. Right. I'm not saying I think it should be. I just think that's how it'll go.
I got you.
Who will be the last player in the green room? And our great producer, Jason Pateri, gave us an attachment of all the guys sitting here, the odds of everybody here. Who do you think the last player sitting in the green room will be in Dallas, Texas?
You know, I think it may be the kid Connor Williams, the offensive tackle out of Texas.
All right. And what are the odds on him? Where is he?
Plus 800.
Oh, there you go. So 800 to 1 odds, Connor Williams.
Yep.
I'm going to go with Vita Vea. That's just because I wanted to say the name.
Right.
3,000 to 1 odds. I just like it. I know he's a big defensive tackle.
Some no stop.
People have him going to the Dolphins.
Yep.
I just wanted to say the name. I thought that was fun. Will there be a trade in the top five?
Hands down.
Who's
yes.
trading up and where? Tell me what you think.
I think the Bills are trading up.
To two?
Are
they taking the Giants spot?
I think they want, if you look at the state of their franchise, Brady's not going anywhere. The Jets potentially are drafting a franchise quarterback. If you want to stay competitive, you need a quarterback.
So you think they trade up to two? But
yes.
I don't know if the Giants want to trade back that far.
No, but I feel like, I don't know. I think I'll be obviously I'll be speculating, but I think
Well, join the bunch. We all speculate.
Well, no, my point is if they bumped up to two, you get some draft picks. Now you can fill some holes on your team.
You can.
And now the Giants are back where they need to be. So that's why you have to address the offensive line.
You do.
You can get picks with your offensive line.
That's true. I mean, there's a rationale for it.
Yeah.
The question is, if you're the Giants, can you trade down to, like Pat Leonard, our buddy in the Daily News, wrote this whole long article. There's a lot of math involved. It sort of made my head hurt.
Yep.
But nonetheless, it was a good point. Giants can maybe trade down to five or six, somebody else trades up, takes the Broncos pick, trades up again, take the Giants pick. So the Giants don't have to go all the way down, still would have an outside chance at, say, still have a chance of getting Chubb and get the extra picks.
I get it. I just know for the Giants, you have an Ever Flower problems already. He's not in the building.
Are.
If anybody needs to be in the building, he needs to be in the building.
Good point.
He's not in the building.
And he's an interventionist, job intervention.
Gettleman he's a big interior lineman guy.
Yes.
And I also think at this point, I think Saquon is a great – I think he's going to be a stud. I think potentially you first ballot, whatever, decorate him now. The issue with the Giants, and particularly the running back position, is you can bump down and get a really solid running back. So Alvin Kamara, I think, went in the sixth round.
Yeah.
So you can find gems if your scouting department is strong enough. But I think if you have a chance to get picks, load up on the offensive line side, which you desperately need, I think it's a no-brainer.
All right, I'm going to say I will agree. I think there's a trade in the top five. I do think the Giants make a trade down. I don't know how far.
Yep.
But I think, to your point, I think it's a good possibility. I will predict it happens too. All right, the schedule was released last week. And, you know, this is like Christmas in April for everybody.
Love
everybody
it.
Goes through the schedule. We don't even know who people are drafting. Yeah, and it makes no sense. Yet, nonetheless, everybody, myself included, yep. you included, we go through the schedule. Well, partially for you and I to see when we're working, and then and so my wife can we can go away Thanksgiving. She's very concerned about this. And then, you know, partially we want to see how our team's going to do that we're covering. So let's go through this. We're going to give a little more fan perspective. So you tee me up, and I will give you wins and losses for the Jets this year.
We're starting off on Monday night against Detroit. Win or loss?
I'm going win.
Nice.
And very simple. New coach for Detroit. Todd Bowles' teams do better at the beginning of the year. They go into Detroit. They surprise people. Josh McCown's not hurt yet. They surprise people. The defense plays inspired. They get a win.
They turn around Sunday. They play the Dolphins.
I'm going to go 2-0 in the home opener.
Oh, hot start.
Being positive. I think the Dolphins should have lost both times to the Jets last year. Jets get a win here and sets things up for my next pick.
Quick turnaround ahead to Cleveland, at Cleveland.
Loss. Three
loss.
Games in 10 days. They barely beat Cleveland last year. They're 2-0, and I think this has been a problem with this team. They take Cleveland lightly. They waltz into Cleveland, get surprised. If Hugh Jackson was not an awful coach as he was last year, Cleveland would have beaten the Jets. That's my pick.
They turn around Sunday, September 30th, against the new bullies in the room, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Loss. Because already,
2-2 right now.
I'll tell you why. I'm feeling good about the Jets at 2-0. We're all happy.
Okay.
You know I can't have that much happiness in life. So there we go. We crash down to 2-2.
West Coast team coming to us October 7th. That would be the Denver Broncos.
Loss. They don't match up well with Denver.
Really?
Don't match up well with Denver. 2-3. And now everybody's talking crazy. They've lost 3 in a row.
Drives me crazy that you're this pessimistic.
Realist. I gave them 2 wins this year.
Did you give them a bounce back win against Indianapolis October 14th for Sunday? It's a 1 p.m. game.
3-3. I give them the win.
So we're 500 right now. That's not bad. We got a Buddhist one. We actually should wear anti Kirk Cousins jerseys.
Yes.
Of this. Minnesota, October 21st, 1 o'clock game on Sunday.
I am going to go, I want to say win. I'm going to go loss.
You're going loss.
I'm going to go loss. I think Minnesota
Vikings are strong. It's a
very
strong
good team. I would like to stuff it in Kirk Cousins' face like everybody else. And I hope they boo him left and right. Man wouldn't even take a visit here. What a coward.
I know. We
don't deal with that at all. But nonetheless, I'm going loss.
Mitchell mascot head Trubisky. We play him October 28th.
When? Defense will confuse him.
Okay. We got Dolphins back on deck. They're coming to us November 4th.
No, at Miami, right?
At Miami, yes.
I'm going loss. We never beat Miami twice in a year. It's the curse of A.J. Dewey.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It's the curse of A.J. Dewey, and I'm always scared of Miami. We're better than them, I think, in many respects. The Jets are better than them. Nonetheless, it's a loss. They don't beat them twice in a year.
I like this. Buffalo is home. We play Buffalo at home, 1 o'clock, November 11th.
I'm going to go win.
You're going win?
I just feel good. I just feel good about that before the bye. I'm going win.
Well, you better hope they don't get a franchise quarterback. We got a bye.
Yes.
Week 11.
Which always win the bye.
We always win the bye. We are undefeated during the bye. Yes. The problem is it was not a problem, which I do like. The bye is week 11, so it was a perfect time for the team to kind of catch their breath and make a charge. And the next charge to climb that mountain is Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
Loss. But I'll say this.
They're home. They're home,
so they give them a hard time.
Yes.
They are up. The Jets are up by 10 to 12 points in the third quarter.
We got robbed last year.
The officials will wreck something with the Jets, and the Patriots will come back and win last second.
You don't think the officials will give us one since they blew it last year?
They never do, no. Please.
They took 2 away from us that game.
Give the Jets one, not out of chance.
That's true. Fair statement. December 2nd against Tennessee. At Tennessee.
I'm going to go loss.
Really?
Tough. Too tough.
Really? Okay.
And I think by this point, you're seeing a young quarterback play.
Really?
That's my prediction.
That's a hot take.
At this point now, after New England, the young quarterback is playing.
December 9th is cold. We're going to Buffalo.
I'm going to go.
By the way, Chris, we see Chris Ivory.
Chris Ivory, sure. I'm going to go loss because I gave him a Buffalo winner.
Oh,
I beat Buffalo twice.
It's tough to win in Buffalo. Good teams have a problem winning.
I know it.
December 15th, we got J.J. Watt and company down in Houston.
I am going to go.
Houston comes to us, actually. It's
a
4:30 game.
I'm going to go win. I always think Houston's a paper tiger. I think Deshaun Watson will be hurt by then.
Nice.
I hope he's not. He's great, exciting. I'm going Houston.
I like that paper tiger.
I'm going Jets win over Houston. Sorry.
Right before Christmas, December 23rd, we got Green Bay coming to the house.
Loss. Even though they're banged up, Aaron Rodgers will make too many plays. And also, my buddy Benny from the Bronx is a big Green Bay.
Is that right?
And I don't need Benny calling me and harassing me over the fact that I picked the Jets over Green Bay. And Benny will remember this pick and remind me of it leading up, so I'm giving it to Benny.
I can't be hard on him. He's from the Bronx.
Yes.
December 30th
loss.
At New England.
Loss. What does that leave us at, Jay?
I think you got us at 6-10.
Is that all you got at 6-10? All right. Now, it's not a lost year so long as the quarterback is playing all right.
What do you mean?
The young quarterback comes in and looks good at the end of the year, and they play competitively. 6-10, it's not the end of the world.
They can't go 5-11.
Can't go 5-11. And 6-10 could be 8-8. It could easily be.
So what's a respectable year for you? For us to say, you know what, we're going in the right direction.
6-10 is not good.
6-10 is not good.
No. But if the quarterback comes along and plays well, you can live with it. You can live with it to some degree. But, boy, that's the floor.
Yeah.
A respectable year is 8-8 and above.
Okay.
With working the young quarterback in. 8-8 with Josh McCown is not respectable. That doesn't count.
Okay.
It's not enough.
Okay.
8-8 with the young quarterback playing 5-6 games.
Arrows up.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what you need.
Okay.
McCown could start the first 10. Teddy Bridgewater's got two legs again. Mm-hmm. I don't even care about Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
I want McCown or Bridgewater leading your way to this guy, whoever they draft on Thursday night. And I think that's your way too early Jets season prediction. And one other thing.
Yep.
Whatever I predict, you should always go the opposite. So I really just said the Jets.
10-6. 10-6, baby.
So you can turn it around. All right. You and I, Thursday night, Ray Lucas joining us. Ralph Vacchiano.
It's going to be wild.
Renee Coakley, cast of thousands. We are, just for anybody who is checking us out, 7-8 on SMY. Then when the Giants come on the clock, we are on the web, on all of SNY's, social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, the whole deal.
Whole gamut, we're there.
We do the podcast for instant reaction, midnight show after dark, and then, you know, someone's going to have to helicopter me home. I'll be like James Brown. They'll put the cape over us when we're done, and that's it.
Yeah, because the bat signal will be up by then. You got to get home.
You know that's a late night for me. You know, Willie's just going out, and I've been asleep for 2 hours when we hit the midnight hour. And, again, thanks for listening to the Jet Stream every week from now until the draft. Again, subscribe to the show, iPhone podcast app, wherever you listen to your podcast. Search for the Jet Stream, find our logo, hit subscribe, rate, review the show. Our thanks to Peter Schrager.
Yes, thanks, Pete.
And you, I will see on Thursday night after the Jets make the pick. Have a good one, everybody.
Jet up.